Today is the 14th of October, and I'm going to interview the Cazalettes about their time in Hambledon. Okay, this is Caroline Midwood. I'm in the home of the Cazalettes, and we're going to do
Cazalettes.
That's an interesting name. Where did it come from?
With a T.
With a T. Cazalette.
Huguenot name.
Oh, really? A Huguenot name.
It used to be posh, but we're not any longer.
Yes, it sounds good. Anyway, I thought it was Italian. Cazalet.
Cazalet, if you're being really posh.
Okay, Cazalettes.
Yes.
And we're in the kitchen and we're just testing for the acoustics.
It's red. It's got the same recording.
So, we are now in Folly House. And how long have you lived here?
Well, perhaps we could start with when it was built. It was built in 1938. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think it was built very much earlier because of the style. And it was built by some people called Hancock. And Billy Hancock was at that time a lieutenant in the Navy and working up at Mercury, HMS Mercury, up at the top of the hill. And we're still in touch with the Hancock children. Now no longer exactly children, D. James and Tim Hancock. And there was one other daughter who sadly has since died. But we're in touch with them, so we know quite a lot about the house.
Oh, uh-huh, that's lovely.
Now, in 1938. In 1954, they moved to Whitedale.
Oh.
And we always say, because Folly House was too small for them.
Well, that's what they told us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the difference between 1938 and 1954 is that we are now sitting in Cook's room, and we've taken a wall down and made it more open. But this used to be Cook's room.
Okay.
With a fireplace behind, and the back door was still there. And there was another back door in another part of the, what's now the proper kitchen.
Main kitchen.
And then upstairs on the top floor, the second floor, there was a nursery maid.
Wow.
And
a kitchen maid.
And a kitchen maid, I think.
Presumably on a census you would be able to find the names of these folk that worked there. They might have been Hambledon folk.
Don't think so, but we've never known that.
Okay, well, I've certainly could look that up.
We've never known that.
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
So that was the difference. And then there was a lift here, a hand lift.
Oh, yes.
So Cook would put the food in and they would pull it up to the top floor and take it out and eat it.
There was a name
eat it
for
up
that.
There.
What was that called? There was a name for those with the pulley system. Don't worry, I'll look that up too.
You're right. No, there was a name.
It was called
Butler's
something.
Was it the Butler's trolley? Might
have been, yes.
No, I looked that up. I remember there was a name for that. Yes.
And so that was the difference between 1938 and 1954. After, I think probably quite soon after the war, they still had a cook.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
But by then the children would have been old enough not to require a nursery maid.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
So in 1954 they left, the Hancocks left and went to Whitedale, which had been a convalescent home during the war. For injured military personnel. And the house was bought by a Captain Colby, who was an engineer captain. We have to say he was a bit of a crank, really. He removed all the central heating except for about two radiators, one of which was in the hall and not really doing very much good, and putting in a 4-inch pipe which ran round the first floor bedrooms. And so when Amelia came back from London for the weekend and washed her smalls, she had to put them on the pipe. And they still weren't really dry on Monday morning when she went back. He was only here for 3 years because, firstly, his son had already got married. His daughter married from here. And his wife sadly died. And so after 3 years, he sold the house to Amelia's parents, and he cut off a corner of the garden and built the cult house, which is now called Hapton House. The reason that the Hancocks originally bought the house was that they also bought what's now the Red House, mm-hmm. which was where the owner of this land, moving up towards the top of the hill,
backs onto it, does it?
It backs onto
right.
it.
Okay.
Lived, and so the Red House owned this land, and so they then built the house, and then they sold the Red House.
Right. And what about the folly is actually sort of on the edge of your garden, isn't
now,
it?
Now, the folly was built in about 1830.
Wow. Okay.
And the story goes that the owner of the Red House at the time was the farmer, and he owned all this land going up to the top here, and he built the folly so that he could see whether his men were working properly and not knocking off early and not drinking too much at lunchtime. And it's a folly because even when you get to the top of the tower, you cannot see over the land anyway.
It's not high enough.
The folly was extremely useful to the Hancocks because the builders came from Goring, near Reading, and they used to come down for the week and go home at the weekends. But during the week, they would live in the folly. And the folly is now used as a...
it's a sort of weekend let, holiday.
Yes.
But it's actually attached to the other house now, isn't it?
Thank goodness,
okay.
I have to say, Captain Kelby kept it.
Ah,
or yes. I'm not sure whether Amelia's parents said, no, thank you, we don't want it.
Right, yes, yes.
Which is quite a relief, really, because the upkeep of it is considerable.
Damp and things like
is
that.
Is it?
So that was in 1957. So right. Amelia's parents came here in 1957. We were actually married here from here in 1962. And our son, eldest son, Rupert, was born upstairs in a bedroom in 1964. And then in 1966, I was in the Navy at the time, but I left the Navy in 1966, and so we really moved away then and used to come back and visit, obviously, but we're not living here. And then in 1989, Amelia's father, Admiral Salter, died, and we came back in 1990. So that's...
And did your mother still live here then?
No, she died in 1971.
Right.
Unfortunately, of breast cancer.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But...
And what changes have you noticed in the village since you came in 1981?
Well, from 1957, We've seen a lot of changes. I mean, obviously, the maltings being yes. built uh-huh. when Hartridge's left.
Yes, yes.
Which wasn't at all suitable
for
them.
What about the number of shops that used to be here? There used to be quite a few, didn't there?
When we came, and either 1957 or 1962,
right.
around there, where the stores are now yes. on the corner was Clark's.
Uh-huh.
The other side of the road was owned by Ivy Briggs.
Right.
Now, Ivy was a great character, and there was another friend of ours in the village who went one day to buy a jam pan. He wanted a jam pan. Mm. And so Ivy said, well, I think I've got one upstairs. So off they went upstairs to a sort of open area, and there in the corner was the perfect jam pan.
Big one.
And so David said, that's lovely, that's exactly what I'm looking for, Ivy. Now, how much is that going to be? So she delves into the bottom of the jam pan, pulls out a piece of paper and says, that'll be 28 shillings. And David said, that is absolutely ridiculous, Ivy. It's got to be worth much more than that. Don't you argue with me, young man. And that was it. And I think the piece of paper was also dated 1928
oh, no.
or somewhere around there. Wow. So even, and this must have been in about 1960, something
yes.
like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's a little
story.
And Ivy was a great character. And then, of course, wonderful. Clark's moved across and,
yes.
and bought. Mm. The People's Market, and you would find out much more about
yes,
that
yes,
from,
yes.
from
Rosemary
yes.
Now.
Uh-huh. And there was a butcher's, wasn't there, up the high street?
Lantry's.
Was that still
yes.
going?
Absolutely, that was
right.
still going when we were there. I don't know when that actually stopped.
I can't remember.
Not long after 1962,
yes.
but
right.
it was certainly going...
When you were
when
here,
when my
very,
very
much,
here.
Yes,
very much,
very,
so.
Very
yes.
much so.
Uh-huh. And a good butcher's, presumably.
Yes,
it
was.
Very good.
Very
and
good
the,
indeed. Yes.
The, all mm-hmm. the hooks are
yes,
outside,
I, yeah,
and,
yes.
and the yeah. The shelf where they used to
display
you know,
the meat and everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely, it was all
yeah,
there.
Yeah. yeah, and there was another butcher's further down, but I think that had closed earlier.
That certainly
yeah.
had gone
yes. right.
by then.
Uh-huh.
There were also four pubs. Four or five
right.
pubs in the village. Now, the Green Man, right at the end,
mm-hmm.
had stopped.
Right.
Where the Leonards are now.
Mm-hmm.
That had actually given up. I'm not
I
quite sure
had,
exactly
yes.
when.
Right. Mm.
But the new inn was going. The Vine was going. The new inn was going.
Walnut Tree?
Which is
oh,
where
no.
the
Walnut
Tree
is.
Right, is.
Yeah.
And that was going on until... the middle of the 90s,
I
think.
So, yeah.
Middle of the 90s.
Uh-huh.
They refused to serve food, and that was what did them.
Yes, yes.
They
just,
said they just wanted
to
stick to the drink,
right.
and they refused to serve food, and I think that's probably why it,
yeah, too difficult
why
to
it went.
Keep going, yeah.
The George.
Yeah.
Now you're going to see
yeah,
Jenny
yes,
Bellinger.
She's going to fill us
yes.
in on that one, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
well, she'll
yes.
fill you in on, yeah. on that mm-hmm. completely. That was still going, certainly when we came back in 1990.
Uh-huh.
But
yes.
I think closed mm. quite soon after.
Right,
after
and there was
that.
A lot of, you mentioned you were in the Navy, there were a lot of Navy personnel at that time here, weren't there, in those years?
There were.
There were.
This village was in the circuit of all the training establishments for the Navy.
Right.
There was the gunnery school, the torpedo school, there was the
navigation
school, which I went to.
Right.
There was the communication school up at HMS Mercury, up at Leydean, up at
uh-huh.
the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why there were a lot of naval people here. But they all closed down, mm-hmm. basically. And from it being HMS Hambledon, it became NHS Hambledon.
I believe, yeah.
Yes. And there certainly was a time, probably still is, if only we knew, that we could have actually had an extremely good hospital in the village, which would have accommodated everybody.
Really?
Because we had experts in everything.
Yeah.
People like Tom Farrell, down at the end, cardiac surgeon, Richard Hull,
yes.
Millards.
Right, yes.
And various other nurses and Anne Leonard, who was a gynaecologist, etc.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And, perhaps you ought to buy Berry Lodge.
and probably many more of them.
Yeah.
And it could have been a very good little cottage hospital.
Yes, indeed.
Dealing with most things.
We had our eldest son here in the house with Ian Riven-Stewart.
Oh, right.
Who came up on a Saturday afternoon, and I said, please can Adrian stay in the room? Yeah, he said, but if he faints, don't expect me to pick him up. I'm here to look after you.
And I didn't.
And he didn't, no.
Oh, good. Oh, dear. Now, you were here during the floods, if you were here that time. Do you remember the floods?
Yes. The floods used to occur about every 30 years, and I can't remember all the dates, but there was one, I think, just before the war, around about 1936, something like that.
Right.
There was another one around 1966, but again, I can't remember exactly. Yeah. And then they started to become more frequent. And there was one in 1992, I think, and again in 1994. Okay.
So they're becoming more free. Is that, do you think, because of all the extra housing concreting over? Or was it?
No, I don't think so, because Hartridges was still... the other lot of houses that have been built since we were here was Rushmere Gate.
Right.
Those five. Five along there.
Mm-hmm.
Really, Green. You know, I mean, it's down the other end of the village, and not really, but I think it. You know, climate change.
Yes.
I think it's happened, and we started to have much more in the way of rain.
Yes.
Now, in 1994, I remember. Some people called Katie and Tony Pope came from London, and they bought Blenheim, where Sarah and Will are now. Yeah. And they moved in the middle of the floods. Oof. They arrived down, and outside their house... And along there were a number of what we called, or what were called, the Green Goddesses, which were pumping lorries and a lot down E Street.
And they were army trucks, weren't they?
They were army trucks, and the Green Goddesses, and they came and they pumped. And of course, nobody had pumps out of their cellars in those days. There was no big pipe and all that sort of thing. And I remember actually going into Blenheim before the popes actually arrived, and they've got a well in, or they used to have, I imagine it's still there, a well in the middle of their kitchen, and the water was that far from the top of the well.
So about 4 centimetres, 2 centimetres?
The well must have been this high, you know, so it was just about...
Very, very close.
And
very
the poor popes had to move in, and they had to move all their furniture in straight upstairs. There was absolutely no point in having it downstairs. I can't remember whether they actually got flooded or not. I think they did.
I think they did.
Did they know about the floods before they came, or were they surprised?
I should think they were surprised, but then really? I'd say they okay. took they took it on the chin, and they were a lovely pair.
So they, did they have children with them, or the, how
no,
old were they?
No, no, it was just they were both retired, really.
Right, okay.
Mm. It was just very bad luck. However, I have to say, they never complained. or and, not that we heard, anyway.
And do you remember Peggy Garside?
Hmm.
Do you remember Peggy Garside?
Oh, yes.
Moving in, who was an old lady, yes. very old lady. And I was walking down one day, and she said, "Don't come in and have a look." And I went in, and the water was absolutely, you could have drunk it was so
really?
Clean.
Uh-huh.
It was absolutely extraordinary.
Which one was she in?
Opposite, in where the Michelle and David Griffiths are now.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would be the courthouse, or
No, opposite.
No, opposite.
Down
on
this
side
of
Michelle.
This
side is Michelle.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what that one's called, but yes, those cottages there. Uh-huh.
Yes, and it was as clear. You could have drunk it.
Wow.
It was extraordinary.
Yes, but it comes up from underneath, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes, it
so,
does, it does.
And we went to dinner one evening with Diana Empson, who lived out by the farm out there.
Park Farm?
Not as far as Park.
The
Deepdale
one?
Yeah, Deepdale. She used to live in Deepfield, and she moved out to Deepdale.
Right.
And we went to dinner one evening, and she said, come and have a look at the cellar.
Oh, dear.
And we looked at the cellar, and there was this wonderful, clear water, you know, right up. I mean, it wasn't actually over the floorboards,
yeah, yes.
But it was, you know, it filled right up.
Wow.
But you're going to tell her about the bottles. She kept all her her wine down there. It was wine cellar.
Right, well, as you would.
as you would. And all the labels came off the bottles. Yes.
This happened to the Watsons.
Yes.
Bertie Watson, who lived in the Red House at that time. Admiral Watson, wonderful, lovely couple they were. Mm. And he had all his very good wine down there.
Oh, dear.
And all the labels came off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So what did they do? Just drank
it? Just drank it. Drank it and
Quite happily.
Oh, dear. Well, at some point, if the value's gone with the label, you might as well enjoy it.
Diana just thought it was funny.
He didn't have it as an investment. He had it to drink.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's lovely.
So when eventually, 2014, we had the next really bad flood.
Right.
And after that, Tony Higham did the most fantastic job in just getting somebody to come and do something about it and put in the big pipe, which was a tremendous... effort.
Yeah, so most houses pump out now, don't they?
And all that was entirely down to Tony Higham,
who was fantastic,
getting it done. And so you'd have to talk to Jan Garvey about it. But
and that
I think this
sort of
year
solved.
We would have had another flood the big pipe.
And it's going to get worse, they tell us.
But the big pipe was 8 feet in diameter, wasn't it?
It was huge.
Massive.
Absolutely enormous.
Absolutely enormous.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. It's easily that big.
And concrete?
Yes.
Or
I don't know.
No, I thought it was iron, wasn't it?
I think so. I can't remember.
I think
it
was iron.
It had to be quite tough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it was
iron.
Yes.
And of course it's clever stuff, because all the pumping out of the cellars...
Mm-hmm.
Which you can't stop, because, as you said, it's water
up.
Table.
Up.
It's it's water coming up. That all pumps out into the big pipe, and so it's taken away.
Yeah.
Whereas it started off being pumped out into the street. And you can ask Richard Millard, but he actually canoed down the street at one stage.
Yeah. He canoed down
the street. He did. He really did, yes.
He had a canoe and he canoed down the street.
Wow.
And you could canoe down from the top of East Street all the way down to Lot Stores.
Yes.
Golly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just talking about shops in the village, there was Frieda May's shop, which is down... I can't remember what the house is called, but it was down on West Street.
London House, was it? That one?
No. It's down on West Street.
Yes.
Just past Stuart's Green. Right. Sorry, Old Barn Crescent. Just past
Old Barn Crescent.
Oh, I know, Beach Cottage now.
Right.
Shop. Yes, I think so.
I think
sweets and things yes. they talk about, yes.
And Frieda May was Ivy Barrett's sister.
Right.
And she had a sweetie shop there. So that was very active at the time.
Uh-huh.
The telephone exchange was also down there at the time. And Ivy was amongst a number of people who used to work in the telephone exchange. And at that stage, if you rang up and said, "Can I speak to so-and-so?" as like as not, she would say, "No, you can't, because they've just gone out to lunch and she'll be back about 4. And that was it.
That was it, yes.
And that was the way the telephone worked in those days.
The jungle telegraph.
Really, yes. Real local stuff. Absolutely. It was wonderful.
Yes.
I can't remember. Well, and of course, Lot Stores are very much, which is still going in a slightly different different way.
Now, yes.
Different
coffee form, shop,
but
yes.
But that was certainly...
That was also a Stores.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Yes.
And now, again, I can't remember what it's... Well, in fact, I think it's called the Stores.
Oh, well, on the corner?
No, not on the corner, but much further down. There was somebody called Ben Marsh, who, again, was born in the village, and he... ran the Stores, and it was another big shop.
So there was
now that
lot
was
of
not
shops.
Going by the time we got back.
Mm. Right.
So it must have stopped in the 1950s, I should think.
Yes.
But Ben was lovely. Now he got married on Christmas Day, we had a picture of him getting married on Christmas Day, and this was the only day he could get married, because otherwise it interfered
with the shop.
Opening the shop. Now, Ben and Ivy were great friends, and Kath, we haven't mentioned,
yes,
Kath
we
Graham,
yeah.
We might come back to her. But again, they could tell us where the orchids were on Speltham Hill.
And when.
And
really,
when,
yes.
And all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
These days, if you go to Speltham Hill, you hardly see anybody walking, let alone any of the children, which I think is a great, great shame.
Because the children used to dash up and down there. They loved it,
yes. My grandchildren have been up and down.
And they used to do, too, if it snowed... They'd like to come down on toboggans.
Or trays,
yes. I think you're right. More likely trays, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we had to wait at the bottom, catch them, so they didn't go into the fence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise,
they'd
have gone straight into the fence.
Oh, that's it. We don't have snow so much. Well, we might have had a smattering loss.
Yeah, but not enough to get your tray out.
No.
Nothing to do with it. When we were married in 1962, of course, that was the great
snowy
year. Yeah. We actually went on our honeymoon to Marbella, which is not what it was, what it is now at all. And we came back, and we were almost the last flight out, and we were almost the first flight back.
Again. Wow.
2 weeks later from Gibraltar. Now. The whole of Hog Lane here, up the further, was completely up to here in really? Snow.
Yes.
So getting around was extremely difficult.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes.
And we went out with some friends from the village tobogganing on this end of Speltham Hill when we got back. Wonderful tobogganing. And I can remember Amelia going down with our friend David, who we mentioned before, hurtling down, and I thought, this is it. This is the end of our wedding.
It wasn't.
And they ended up in the hedge at the bottom, I think, but luckily all was well. But that's all gone now, really.
Yes,
and we've hardly... Okay, a little bit of the occasional snow, yeah, but we don't see it like that anymore. No, thank goodness, in a way.
In a way, as you get older, it's
not such fun.
No, not such fun. No, that's true.
Yes.
Okay.
One more thing about the flooding. At some stage, I think it was probably in 2014, somebody who lived down in the valley saw us and said, "Are you all right up there?" And I said, "If we're not all right, you're in real trouble."
Yes.
And whereabouts, you were obviously all right,
Eva.
But whereabouts did the all right line occur, do you think?
I don't think it got up as far as you.
No, so cobblestones was...
I think there's sort of slight trouble next door.
Tower House.
Yes.
Right. And so there was water up the street to about there, up the high street to about there? Or was it in the cellars?
No, that was in the cellars. It was in the cellars.
Because otherwise some houses would be under, it would be submerged if it was that high. So
No, it was...
In the cellars.
It didn't sort of come up the hill.
Okay. So it was just...
At all. You'd have to ask the Dixons or somebody how far it came.
Yeah,
I don't think they were affected.
Oh, right.
It was flowing down. I remember it flowing down the hill.
Well, as it still does, flows down the hill. But I don't think that the main road wash of water
ever came
up the hill. No. But it did affect all the cellars, of course.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
As it still does.
Yes, as it still does.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much.
I drive off in a car, and I knew what was going to happen, and I left my car up at the Bat and Ball, up at Broadhapenny Down, and... So when we left here, we went in my father's car with
all the boots and things.
Who was driving? Forgotten the name. But anyway, drove us up to the Bat and Ball with all the shoes and things behind, and just married and all this sort of stuff. Because I knew that I didn't want to drive on into London.
With the white all over the car, and the tin cans, with all that, so that was another thing.
Yeah.
So you did a swap over with cars and the Bat and Ball when you were married. Okay. Yes.
My father seemed to be happy with that.
Yes.